Thanks, Alex. Glad to be here. This is one of those topics that looks small on paper, but costs teams a ton when it goes sideways. From an operational standpoint, the handoff is where good intentions meet real-world failure modes.
Cold open first. Imagine walking into a brand new medical office on a Monday and finding the HVAC controls locked out, the access control system showing errors, and the property manager on the phone trying to find a single firmware version that was installed 6 months earlier. That building was technically complete, accepted by the owner, and yet tenants couldn't use parts of the space for days because nobody had the right documentation or spares. That's the handoff trap.
Exactly. Tenants feel this immediately. You can call a job complete in a punch list sense, but what breaks if this goes down is always the operational responsibility. If the knowledge walks out the door, the team left behind is in firefighting mode from day one.
So why do handoffs matter beyond the obvious? Let's map the artifacts that should travel with a turnover. O&M manuals, firmware and software versions, warranty paperwork, a spare parts list with procurement sources, vendor escalation contacts, network diagrams with access credentials stored securely, and a living log of configuration decisions. When one or more of those items are missing, you have the seeds of persistent operational debt.
And in practice, different parties assume different responsibilities. Contractors might think the integrator owns the spares. Owners assume the GC delivered everything. IT assumes the vendor handed over credentials. Nobody owns the single source of truth. That ambiguity is the most common root cause I see.
Segment 1. Failure modes and causes. Walk me through the typical ways handoffs break down. Is it organizational, contractual, time pressure, or something else?
All of the above. There are a few repeatable failure modes. Single points of knowledge, where one person has the only credentials or tribal knowledge. Documentation that's static, a binder that never gets updated. Contractual gaps that don't require living documentation. And schedule pressure, where turnover is rushed to meet a soft deliverable date. That rush trades completeness for speed. That's fine until it fails.
You mentioned tribal knowledge. Can you give a practical example of how that looks in the field?
Sure. I was on a site where the integrator had a custom naming scheme for every device on the BAS network. The integrator's lead left after turnover, and the owner's operations team had no mapping between names and physical zones. When a tenant complained about overheating, maintenance couldn't identify the correct controller without combing device logs. That single-person knowledge turned a two-hour fix into a two-week disruption.
Segment 2, trade-offs and governance. You've advocated for owner acceptance criteria and living documentation. Walk us through a pragmatic governance setup that balances speed and completeness. What's the minimally viable set of policies?
From an operational standpoint, start with three things. Clear acceptance criteria tied to operational readiness, an enforced turnover checklist, and a short warranty period shadow operation where the vendor stays engaged for the first 90 days. Acceptance criteria should include verified O&M uploads, a spare parts list, confirmed access credentials in a secure vault, and a documented escalation path. That's not onerous, but it has to be contractual and tested before final sign-off.
When you say tested, what does a test actually look like in a turnover context?
A test is hands-on. Have operations lock out a non-critical device. Request remote support using only the provided documentation and contact list, and ask the integrator to demonstrate recovery steps. Confirm spare part procurement timelines by having ops place a simulated order. If the team can execute recovery with the handed over artifacts, that's a successful test. If not, fix the gaps before acceptance.
Segment 3, real-world examples. Can you share two anonymized case studies, one where a poor handoff caused trouble and one where a strong process prevented it? Concrete fixes are especially helpful.
Case 1, a mid-size office where the access control vendor changed firmware 6 months before turnover and didn't log the change. The owner accepted the job, but when a card format issue appeared months later, the vendor no longer had records of the older firmware or the configuration export. Result, a costly rollback and days of tenant disruption. low-effort fix, require a versioned configuration export and storage in a secure owner-controlled repository at turnover. Case 2. A campus deployment where the owner required a 90-day shadow period and a living documentation wiki. The integrator stayed engaged for the first quarter. Updates were tracked in the wiki, and spare parts were stocked at a central warehouse. When an unexpected hardware failure occurred, operations used the documented part number and the pre-approved procurement path. Repair happened within hours, not days. The productivity and tenant satisfaction difference was stark.
Those are great contrasts. Let's move to key takeaways, a compact, actionable checklist listeners can use immediately. Michael, give us the who does what version.
Three roles with clear responsibilities. Owner, require and own a secure repository for turnover artifacts and define acceptance criteria. General contractor, integrator, deliver versioned configurations, O&M, spares list, procurement sources, and a 90-day shadow support commitment. Operations, IT, perform hands-on acceptance tests, validate credentials in the secure vault, and maintain the living documentation. Minimum documents, configuration exports, firmware inventory, warranty and support contacts, spare parts list with SKUs, and a verified escalation matrix. If you enforce those, you minimize the surprise and reduce operational risk significantly.
Quick checklist you can print and use. 1. Get assigned acceptance that lists operational readiness items. 2. Store artifacts in an owner-controlled secure repo. 3. Run a hands-on recovery test. 4. Require a short shadow support period. 5. Confirm spare parts and procurement timelines. Put those into contracts and you move from hope to assurance.
And remember, the cost of a small effort at turnover is tiny compared to the operational and tenant costs when something goes wrong. That's the downstream impact. Tenants call, operations burn overtime, and reputational damage follows. Prevent it with a few simple governance steps.
Call to action? Visit our show site to download the turnover checklist and templates we referenced, a turnkey acceptance criteria template, a living documentation starter wiki structure, and a vendor escalation matrix you can adapt. That's builtwiredandsecured.com/turnover, a single place to start closing the handoff gap.
That wraps up today's episode of Built, Wired, and Secured. We covered the handoff trap and gave you a clearer way to think about how these decisions play out beyond the initial install. Thanks for spending time with us. Michael, any last practical line for listeners?
Own the handoff like you own the building. Tenants will notice the difference. If you do just one thing after today, make it enforcement of acceptance criteria tied to operational tests. That change alone saves time and money down the line.
Until next time, make sure the systems you're responsible for are built to last, wired with intention, and secured for the real world. Built to last, wired with intention, secured for the real world.